Chapter 43, 85-15. For many years, neurologists believed that particular hemispheres of the brain were biologically predetermined for certain tasks. The left side was frequently the source of language function. Rational, linear decision-making was also discovered to originate from the same side. On the other hand, brain activity associated with abstract and creative reasoning was often thought to come from the right-hand side. Because of this, it was assumed some unknown process within human biology predetermined the left and right sides of the brain in this arrangement. Another factor which would seem to support this notion is the prevalence of right or left-handedness amongst certain people groups. Creative, artistic people are believed to have a higher rate of left-handedness than the general population, while other groups, such as those that favor logical thinking, have a lower prevalence of left-handedness. More recently, the stark binary of right and left brain humans has been recast as dominant and non-dominant sides of the brain. Artistic and creative people don't always appear to be right brain dominant, although it's certainly the norm. Logical or methodical people aren't always left brain dominant, but again, it is frequently the case. As Connor and Asperger spent more time with their patients, one can't help but notice similar divisions form amongst the children they described. Nearly all of them exhibited the aloneness and obsession with ritual that became the hallmark of autism, but some of them were a bit different. One group initially lost their language skills, but eventually regained them in such an exaggerated state that their stunning vocabularies would earn them the nickname of Little Professors. Their ability to hold prolonged discussions on their favorite topics made for remarkable conversations, but sometimes came with a profound deficiency in self-awareness. If someone were to offer them a hint that their behavior was growing tiresome, they were unlikely to notice, the subtle clues necessary for polite conversation evidently missing. A different grouping of children withdrew into themselves so completely they appeared to lose the ability to communicate altogether, no matter how dedicated their parents were in their attempts to draw them out. Some of these children would later exhibit an artistic ability that stunned their family. For instance, out of nowhere, a child, never having had access to a piano before, might sit down and pound out a complete concerto heard once years before. Others might show an ability to paint or sculpt that appeared from nowhere. Those diagnosed with autism have a higher prevalence of left-handedness, but strangely, those who are described as someone with Asperger's syndrome, a milder form of autism, do not. The ability to appreciate a joke, a skill often lacking in someone with an Asperger's diagnosis, appears to lie in the right hemisphere of the brain. Further scientific study is needed, but from afar, it appears as though the difference between autism and Asperger's syndrome may be determined simply according to on which side of the brainstem an injury occurred. Not all initially develop in such a way their left hemisphere becomes the dominant side, but for most children, this is the case. Because of the asymmetry of the lymphatic system, this may be why the left is the hemisphere of the brain most often damaged. If injury were to occur in this, the dominant side of the brainstem, a loss of language skills could be expected. As the child develops, and through significant effort from their parents, they may be able to relearn language processing on the right side of their brain, rerouting the signals required for reading, speech, or comprehension through their non-dominant side. Some children may experience the less frequent right-side brain injury. Around 15% of the body's lymphatic system serves this hemisphere, and consequently, the likelihood of neurotoxins reaching this side is much less. For those with this injury, they may suffer not so much the loss of language, but the loss of abstract thinking. This could surface as the inability to read the not-so-subtle hints that a listener is tired of a particular conversation, or the inability to pick up on sarcasm or irony. The two hemispheres of the brain are connected by a band of neural tissue called the corpus callosum, a tract which allows information to pass between the two hemispheres. Continuing along this hypothesis, one would expect someone with autism to have the left dominant side of their brain obstructed at the brainstem. Because of the corpus callosum, their entire brain might then be more easily employed by the abstract and creative thought processes still flowing through their right non-dominant side of the brainstem, a phenomenon which might explain the occasional savant-like artistic abilities of these children. Similarly, someone with an Asperger's diagnosis may experience the opposite effect. If the right, non-dominant side of their brainstem was injured, their abstract thinking would be negatively affected, but with both hemispheres of their brain available for language processing and linear thought, they might develop a magnified ability for speech and reading comprehension, particularly with linear, rational subjects. Their vocabularies might be immense, but without the ability for abstract thought, they would be unable to master the linguistic somersault required for pronoun substitutions, switching I for you, or you for me. Because the corpus callosum often develops atypically amongst children with autism, it might suggest this connection between the left and right hemispheres of the brain is somehow being affected by changes within the brainstem. Whether being overworked or underworked, a cause or effect, we cannot say, but the mere fact it is different in these children suggests it does play a role. The consciousness and arousal states connected to the reticular formation appear to be associated with both sides of the brain, and as such, injury on either side may produce the hallmark traits of impaired social interaction. Without the lateralization of creative or linear thinking, it may not matter which side an injury occurs on. The social skills needed for human-to-human interaction may be impaired either way. No matter which side is injured, it appears that without the ability to wholly dedicate itself to language or abstract thinking, the entirety of the brain may be repurposed as a giant memory store, a transformation that results in the ability to hoard and extract incredible amounts of information. Because of changes in diagnosis, such as the addition and subsequent removal of childhood disintegrative and pervasive developmental disorders, comparing rates of those with autism and Asperger's syndrome as described above can be challenging. Before additional diagnoses were added, rates of the two disorders in the 1990s were mentioned as 1 in 110 for autism and 1 in 500 for Asperger's syndrome. This works out to 82 to 18%, an intriguing ratio considering it is nearly identical to the proportion of right-handed to left-handed people. The idea that autism and Asperger's are asymmetrical brain injuries mirror images of each other is admittedly an unusual hypothesis. It supposes that autism, the more common disorder, happens when the dominant side, usually the left, of the brain is harmed. Depending on the severity, the child may lose all language skills. Asperger's, on the other, may happen when the secondary hemisphere of the brain, the side normally used for creative and abstract thinking, is damaged. Every person is different, and it is not uncommon for someone to represent a blend of these characteristics. However, the tendency for children to resemble one over the other is unmistakable. Because the proportion of three separate things, the asymmetry of the lymphatic system, the ratio of right to left-handed people, and the percent of people with autism compared to Asperger's, are all around 85 to 15, the possibility they are related is certainly there. The side of the brain which initially becomes dominant is not always the left, so these attributes may sometimes be reversed. On the whole, however, it would not be surprising if people with Asperger's exhibited a particular handedness, perhaps even a particular facial asymmetry, that is the opposite of those with autism. By the end of the 1960s, the aluminum-containing diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis shots had become a routine childhood procedure recommended by nearly every doctor and public health official in the country. Even so, the rates of autism at that time were largely unknown, such was the rarity of the illness. An early attempt was made, a decidedly flawed approach that came up with the number of 1 in 10,000. Although we'll likely never know the true rate at that time, one thing was for certain. A new pediatric vaccine was being introduced, and the rate of autism was set to soar.